Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Sivia LaFair. She is the president of CEO Inc., a global consulting company. Today, we're going to talk about her book, Don't Bring It to Work. If you have any questions, you can go ahead and pose a question in the chat room, or you can call in at 347-324-3460. Dr. LaFair, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Great to be here.
I guess to begin with, a lot of our listeners like to hear personal stories on how the person actually, instead of reading the bio. So if you don't mind, just sharing with us probably like your own time. Tell us about yourself.
Certainly. Well, there are two paths that led me to be sitting right now talking with you about a book called Don't Bring It to Work. And it started when I was a kid. I grew up in a family business that was fiscally sound but emotionally bankrupt. My father and his two brothers were in business together, and they just fought all the time. They were close in age, and my father would come home and always be frustrated, and I would hear him telling my mother about this uncle or that uncle or what didn't work, and I thought, gosh, work doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. And then while this has all worked out since, it was a sad time, and one day my father came home, and I heard him say to my mother, I'm done. I'm just done. And we did not know how prophetic that was, because in the middle of the night, he had a massive heart attack and died. Aww. I was 14 years old. And so my passion with the kind of work I do about relationships in the workplace, I think, began then. Somewhere deep in me, I knew there had to be a better way, and that work was meant to be more than just stress loaded on stress and unhappiness and frustration that didn't go anywhere. So from that, I became a family therapist. Made sense. Never thinking I would ever do anything in the workplace, till one day we were doing a program for parents whose adolescent children were driving them crazy, which probably could have been everybody in the community. I mean, the room, I must say, was full. But what happened at the end of that sort of led me into a new direction. A man walked up and he said, will you come work with my senior leadership team? And I said, why? And he said, they're fighting. And I said, so what? And he said, but Sylvia, you work with people who have to get along, families. They're kind of like a family. They have to get along. So I thought about it and thought, all right, shared interest through genetics, the family. Shared interest through economics, the workplace, both powerful forces in life. So I went in and worked with the group, and as they say, the rest was history. I saw the power of understanding the patterns we developed in our families that we take into the workplace. I saw the power of looking at them, observing them, understanding them, and then transforming them to make the workplace a more productive place, because we spend a heck of a lot of time there. So that's
Absolutely.
The story of how I got to do what I'm doing, and the power force that is behind Don't Bring It to Work, which, I'll take a few bragging rights, has won 8 business book awards to date.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Why do you think it really there's so much conflict? Why can't we? It's just that we have dual personalities now. Everybody is just really standing on their own ground and just don't want to get along. Why do we have all this conflict?
Well, you know, I think the conflicts were always there. I think for a long time we just pushed them under the rug. And then we walked on a very, very lumpy rug in every organization, literally in the world. Now we're bringing more out. People are speaking out more. But that doesn't mean we're speaking out about the right things or at the right time. And that's the other piece of don't bring it to work. You know, there's a wish, Tim, that we could just drop everything at the office door that is us, our personalities, and just go in and become machines and just get the work done and go home, pick up what we want to at the office door. But I hear so many people in positions of power say, oh, I just wish they would leave their sob stories, their annoyance with their boyfriends or girlfriends or spouses. I wish they would leave their frustrations with their neighbors or the annoyance with the air conditioning not working. I wish they would just leave it at the door and come do their job. The truth is we've created a myth that has to be busted, and I'm a myth buster, and that is that we are supposed to or even can be different at home and at work. It's a myth, and it's created a lot of stress and a lot of physical illness. I think we need to learn how to be the best people we can be, period. Make sense?
Wow, absolutely. You know, some societies, I guess, seem like they get along. Look at Great Britain. You know, when you look at something from them, that's only television or what we hear, and you go visit there, they're just so polite to each other. Even they polite in, even when they're ugly, they still really polite. And if you think of the 50s, we were taught manners to be polite to the other person. Even if you disagree, you know, agree to disagree, but you still respect the person or, you know, on the surface, but the politeness. So what happened to all of that?
Well, I think there are a couple of, I think a couple of things are happening. One is a lot of politeness is stuffing what's really going on. And again,
okay.
Stress-related illnesses in the UK are as high as they are here. They're as high as they are everywhere in the world. I've had the luxury of teaching and traveling and being a consultant to businesses literally all over the world. And what I have found is when you peel away some of the politeness in the UK or the bowing in Japan or the way to talk by indirection that you may find in other parts of the world, we're all the same. We want to be heard, and we want to be acknowledged. And if we're not, we either stuff it or we punch it out, which is sadly what we're doing more and more in our culture. So we're looking for a new way. But here's the thing. We have never been taught, and this is, we're right in the middle of one of our Total Leadership Connection 4-session programs. And a big piece of this with all kinds of people in the business world, VPs, executives, CEOs, you know, people who are high potentials, the whole idea is learning how to tell the truth without blame, judgment, or attack and to find the right timing for it. And that's the essence of my work. You have to begin to peel away what you learned, what I learned, what we all learned as children. Here's the whole idea of don't bring it to work, and it's really a movement whose time has come. We learned as kids in the family certain ways to behave, and we took on certain roles to keep things moving along as peacefully as we could. Some of us became pleasers, some of us became victims, you know, we were scapegoated, some of us became martyrs, and in Don't Bring It to Work, there are 13 patterns that we learned as kids. Now, we don't have to be this way, but when stress hits the hot button, we all revert to these behaviors to keep safe, to survive. I mean, we're organisms meant to survive, so this is very basic. And when I see all this stuff about bullies, what we call persecutors in the workplace, that they're just reacting. I'm not excusing their behavior, please understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just
sure.
reacting to stress and to the way they learned as kids to handle situations, not elegantly or effectively, but that's what they learned to stay alive. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
So what happens? Yep. So what happens is we go to work. Work has been set up to be very much like the family. Think about it. We have bosses, i.e. parents, or if we're the boss, we have boards of directors, i.e. parents. We have coworkers, i.e. siblings. We get performance reviews, i.e. we get report cards, or we get timeouts. You know, we were put on performance improvement plans. You know, we get allowances, i.e. salaries. We get special bonuses, i.e. here's something good at a holiday time because you did better. So it's very similar. And we begin to react in a very similar way. And I have looked at all the research I can find, and I truly believe this is one of the missing pieces in leadership programs to understand this and our part in it, and to be effective leaders and help others who are, quote, behaving like thumb-sucking toddlers to get out of that mode and move into a more mature place. We also fire people too quickly. That doesn't mean there aren't times people have to be, quote, unhired, but there are times we can lead them in better ways and help them grow out of this. So I'm passionate about this.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick and try to highlight some things in your book real quick.
Okay.
I think we're going to talk about part one, the homework connection. Be back in one moment with the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet, talking to Dr. Sylvia LaFair.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Again, Tim Jacquet, Don't Bring It to Work. I'm with Dr. Sylvia LaFair. We're talking about her book. Dr. LaFair, we go back to your book, and you have your first chapter talk about the homework connection, relationships, behavior, workplace crisis. Kind of tell us in a summary what that section really speaks of.
Well, it speaks of some of the things we were just talking about, and that is that families and work teams are structurally and functionally similar.
Mm-hmm.
This is important to really get. They're both living systems, and they, you know, have moving parts that go on. Families, you know, we grow up, we change. Workplace, work systems, we change, we become. New people come on, other people leave. But they're living systems, and each individual plays an indispensable role. So it's we all need to learn when to speak up, the appropriate way to speak up, and it's very, very, very important to learn about our own personal accountability. When you think about a system, it all works together. So if one part is off, it has to be adjusted to work together. And in the workplace and in families, everyone is accountable. And there's no one person to blame. We come from a culture where we think, okay, it's that person's problem. Let's get rid of them. Let's put somebody else in that place. And what I see is 2 or 3 months later, the same thing is happening because they haven't looked at everything in the system. And the other part that's really important in a system is if one person is willing to speak up, to be authentic, to tell the truth. And here's what's important, to tell the truth without blame, judgment, or attack, to tell the truth, then the whole system begins to change. One person can make a difference, speaking out effectively with right timing. And the lessons that we learned about how to relate in our first organization, our original organization, the family, is what we bring to work. We can transform it if it's not working for us, but we need to understand that's where we got it. Make sense?
Absolutely. And then in part two, you talk about the way out. Observe, understand, we just mentioned, transform your patterns. You know, we look at several organizations, state governments, you know, even our federal government, and they just can't get it together. When large organizations like that, that's well established, you have already a culture in a, that's already built in, and if you go into a state government or whatever, or a well-established organization, you have to do a lot of peeling. It's like you have to take the whole company into therapy. How can you do that when you have massive amount of people in order to try to get to the root of the problem?
Well, you know, the government, I have
well,
to tell
you. Well, you know, you have some same things in well-established businesses, same thing as in some state governments or even large organizations that you have this culture, this is the way we do things.
Well,
it's
interesting.
This way.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tim, because I had to be in Washington last week, and somebody emailed
me.
Yeah, well, it was for a private organization, but somebody emailed and said, oh, finally, somebody's going to tell Congress they're behaving like babies. So, and no, I didn't get there. And yes, many of them are. So we'll just leave that one on the side. You know, in companies, and we've worked with entrepreneurial companies and very large corporations and mid-sized corporations, what happens when the change can occur is it does take critical mass. You know, you have to have some people, someone at least, some one person at the top who has the vision, who can say, we want this kind of a workplace. And then the task is to help as many people as possible learn about these behavior patterns. The OUT technique goes like this. Once we can observe our own personal patterns, and how we respond to things, the tie inside us, that knot inside us, that knot that says, am not, cannot, or not like me, that knot loosens. So we observe it. We just had somebody in our Total Leadership Connections admit that his nature is to be a pleaser. And there were some things, we were talking about truth to power, and how he had not managed up to tell his boss some truth because he just wanted to please him. And he saw that he observed it. So you could see it loosening. Then you begin to understand that it comes from earlier in your life. You go back and mm-hmm. you begin to track it. It loosens the knot even more. Then you have to put some strength training in, some elbow grease. And it's all outlined in Don't Bring It to Work. I mean, the model that we use in our leadership program is the model that's in the book. And to transform these patterns, in other words, the pleaser becomes a truth teller. My personal Achilles heel is I have a tendency to be a drama queen. And I can have a hissy fit and get upset about something more than is needed. And I've had to learn how to tame that. Now, a drama queen, and gentlemen listening, there are plenty of drama kings out there too. Not just us, so please. And that's the absolute truth. That's an absolute truth. Most are just our truths. But there are as many drama kings as there are drama queens. We learn how to become good storytellers. So we can still use the adrenaline of, you know, having a hissy fit, but we do it in a way that moves things forward. The persecutor, we talked earlier about the bully. The persecutor becomes a visionary. And instead of poking his or her finger in your eye and pushing you down, the persecutor takes that same finger and points it to the sky and becomes a visionary and says, there has to be a better way. And I've been telling you it's your fault and blaming you because I haven't been accountable, that word again, for myself, but there has to be a better way, and let's begin exploring it. And in companies where there has become a critical mass, you know, enough people who say this is a more healthy way to work, we've seen massive and almost magical changes occur, and productivity starts to soar. Lawsuits, if there were any, go away. And sick days, because a lot of people are out sick, more because they're, pardon my French, but pissed off at somebody else than they are really in a terrible physical place. It's sort of their revenge way of doing it. So it is possible. It takes some work, and it takes at least a couple of people at the higher levels to say, this is the kind of workplace we want.
Wow. You know, there's an old saying is that some people really don't want to hear the truth, number one. And number two, some people can't handle the truth. So how do you handle those two situations, the years and people who don't really don't want the truth, who can't handle it, rather?
Yeah, I think there's a place, and you know there's the saying, the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And my life's research is about seeing if that's true. And what I have found is it's how the truth is told. Telling the truth is not spilling your guts. That's critical to understand. Telling the truth is a very high art form. It's like the highest form of a martial art. You're not just swinging your arms around and kicking your legs to slam into people. You want something. You have to know why you're telling the truth, you know. And then you have to learn about the timing. Now, if someone else does not want to hear it, they have to at least own that they've heard your truth. It's been registered, and then it's their responsibility. And we're just going through a situation this moment in the leadership program that they're doing some work with each other so I could come out and be on this program. But there is somebody who has to tell her boss that if things don't change, she doesn't know if she can continue working because he's never available for the big decisions. And she doesn't want $500,000 and $1 million decisions on her shoulder alone. It's not, you know, in her job description, and that's not what should be. And she has been working very hard the last few days on how to tell him so that he will hear. And then what we've said is, then it's on him. And you either will get a change at work, or you'll make the decision that this is not the right place for you to be. So we all have to tell the truth. The deniers are the ones who have the biggest trouble. It's what problem here? You know, it's rearranging the chairs, the deck chairs on the Titanic, and sooner or later that person falls from grace. I've seen it happen every time. We can't force the truth on people, but if it's told effectively, what I've seen is, at least 80 to 85% of the time, people will say, no one ever told me that, or I never thought of it that way before. And that begins the institution of change.
Okay, so when you have that, how can you tell the person to tell the truth without putting their opinion in? Hey, just give us the facts.
Well, it can't just be facts because, as I said earlier, this myth of we're different at work than at home, we're whole people. So every mm-hmm. truth we tell, every fact we say has a piece of us in us. So one of the things we need to do is start with talking about me, I. You know,
okay.
this is how I have come to see this. You may not see it the same way, but it's important for me to tell you how this behavior, this situation has been affecting me. So that's accountability, that's ownership. That's all you can do. This is my truth. There's somebody, again, in our Total Leadership Program who is in a very large family business, and I say those in family business have signed on for the accelerated program in life because you can't get away from family members. He needs to have a conversation with his father, and he's very angry. And he couldn't find the words without, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, till finally he had a breakthrough. This was just yesterday, and he was able to say to his father, this situation is killing me. I can't think about anything else. It's making me feel almost impotent at work because it takes up so much of my time, and the stress of it is creating some physical symptoms. And I, he he's owning it, haven't had found the way till now to tell you how upset I am about what's going on. So it's not blaming. He's not finger pointing. He's saying the situation just isn't working. And he said it with such power that everybody in the room just you know, almost spontaneously started to applaud, because when you hear the truth, it resonates. So it takes practice. So there are two things. One is telling the truth is not spilling your guts. In one situation, I was in a team meeting, and this gal knew that we teach telling the truth is good, and somebody on her team, she was a new director, spoke out, and she looked at him. She said, "That was the dumbest thing I ever heard." So everybody, you know, froze. Nobody was going to talk after that. And she said, "Furthermore, most of your comments don't really add anything." And I thought, what is she doing? So we took a break. I took her in another room. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "But Sylvia, you teach tell the truth." This is years ago. At that moment, I looked at her. I said, "But that's not spilling your guts. Telling the truth is directed. It's specific. And you have to really think through what you want as an outcome from telling the truth." So we went back, and her truth then was to apologize that she had gotten carried away, and that while she was, you know, this new person in this leadership position, she wanted to claim her place, and she had a lot more to learn. And then the room sort of unfroze, and people began to talk again. So telling the truth, being vulnerable, and making, if you make a mistake, own it. Own it, own it, own it. That's what I see in healthy companies. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's kind of a funny story. I remember some time ago that I had a priest, and he had an associate priest. And this associate priest was from a foreign country, and water is scarce. And he didn't take a bath a lot. And I said, "Well, you know how much is this costing us on vestments to clean them every single week? And you're going to have to talk to him. And here's a priest." I mean, it seemed like he should be able to talk to him. He couldn't talk to him. So I said, "Look, the bill is adding up because we're cleaning all the vestments weekly from week to week. And it gets to a point that we can't, you know, you can do it, but you really can't afford to do that forever." So I said, "Just sit down and talk to him, and, you know, one-on-one, and, you know, just say, you know, really, hey, these are the situations. And, you know, we have to have clean vestments, and we can't afford." And he did. He finally got talked to him, and all of a sudden, then he started taking a bath, and we kind of resolved the problem. But it took him months before he was able to tell him the truth. And then next thing I know, the guy just seemed like it's just the light came on. And that light came on, he took a bath, he started dressing in designer clothes and cologne and everything. But it was just like, it was like night and day. Now he is so Americanized within that one moment, within a month, from what he was before and what he is today. So it kind of set him free in one sense, but now he just loves clothes and loves cologne and everything. He's living it up. So kind of.
That is a fabulous example of two things. One is that the truth does make a difference, and two is that in telling the truth, we do change each other. You know, there's an old model that says the only one you can change is yourself. Well, the fact is we know enough about neuropsychology now. There are things called mirror neurons. I'm not going to go into detail with this.
Sure.
But when you do and say something, it impacts the other person, and it goes deeply into their nervous system. So we do a disservice when we hold the truth back. It's the language of it, and it starts with saying, you know, whoever went to this priest from another country could have started by saying, "It's very difficult for me to tell you this, and I've been holding back because I didn't want to hurt or embarrass you, but I don't think I'm doing you a disservice by doing that." You can start that way, because that's the truth, and it sort of softens things a little bit. You know, we've said to people, go in and say, I've waited months to say this because I've been very nervous or concerned about what the impact will be. And the truth is you have to take the what comes on the other end. Some people say, well, what if I lose my job? To which I'll say, if it's this important and it's bothering you this much and you're that afraid to say it and you finally say it and you get a negative response, maybe that's not the place you really want to be working long term anyway. So, but more and more, I haven't seen that. What I've seen is that the truth does set us free, more free, at least a little bit more free. You know, I don't want to make this Pollyanna, but it does make a difference. And we learn not to tell the truth. We learn to hold back when we were kids. We learned it at home. We learned it at school. Be quiet and behave. You know, don't rock the boat. You know, we learned all of that, and it's deeply in us to say, what happens if we really do speak out? So the family, what we learned in our original organization, does impact how we behave in our present organization. And that's the pioneer work I've been doing for the last almost 30 years. And where I've been able to get people to hear, it's made a difference, I will tell you.
Well, I guess you can conclude with, if you will not mind, just read something that speaks to you that you'd like to share with the community, and I guess some last thoughts you have, and I guess I'm going to ask you, what do you think you would like to be remembered in 100 years from now?
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, let me read a little bit just from the very end of the book where it talks about accountability and taking a stand to become the best you can be. It's a lifelong process. It begins with consciously naming the patterns that have run our lives and then taking action steps to redesign relationships with the people who matter most to us. We can all learn to stand steady in the tension between sameness and growth. In the midst of that tug and pull is life-enhancing creative energy. Once we begin the process of listening and discussing, once we take ownership of the process of shaping and reshaping our lives, we gain a sense of presence. Then we can never be bought. We are unwilling to sell out to cajoling, to bribery, to empty promises. We become authentic. Toward the end of the book.
Wow. And 100 years from now, I mean, you're a great communicator. How would you like to be remembered, your impact on the world with your book, Thumb Bring It to World?
Well, it's interesting, Tim. I have a new book that just came out called Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change. And the next one is going to be called Free, How to Untie the Knots, I'm Not, Can Not, Should Not, of relationships. So on my, I don't know, tombstone, but how to be remembered is she was gutsy and willing to speak out for her truth.
Wow. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the program today and sharing your book. And where can we get your book again?
The book is on Amazon, and if you want more information about our programs, which are absolutely, this leadership program is in its 11th year, and
wow,
we're starting our 52nd or 53rd program in August. It's pretty awesome, and then we have other programs, and we go in and consult. You can go to CE Options, you know, you said CEO, it's CEOPTIONS.com.
Okay.
And call us. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And what's that address again, web address?
CE, Charlie Edwards, CEOPTIONS, CEOptions.com.
Great. And the telephone number there?
570-636-3858.
Great. Well, thank you again for coming on.
Oh, and thank you. And your questions were just wonderful. So thank you,
Thank
Tim.
You. Okay, have a great day.
You
okay,
too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Also, if you go into iTunes, if you can write a review about the show, we really appreciate it. Everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.